Two and a Half Bears brought to you by your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Pete Kaz, Hamp. I wanted to bring this next guy on because Hamp talks about him every single week. He won a national championship with Notre Dame in 1988. You can see him Saturdays on ESPN as an analyst for college football. But his biggest feat was coaching a future Hall of Famer at the University of Arkansas. It's Coach Lou Holtz. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Delighted to be with you. And I just want everybody to know, people ask me all the time, who's the best athlete you ever coached? I said, who's your favorite child? But if I had to say, one of the greatest players I've ever coached was Dan Hampton. And man, you have to be going crazy. Your Bears gave up 45 points today. Your Hogs gave up 52 2 weeks in a row. I know that has to be driving you crazy because you would never let that happen when you were playing.
Coach, what a blessing to have you on the program. Thank you. And you're right. What are you doing next Saturday? Can you help us out? Hey, they give up 52 to them. I think it was 57 or something to South Carolina at home. Yeah, we've got trouble down in Hogville.
Well, I tell you, they needed people like you. I don't know if people know that when I went there, Dan was a junior, and I never forget sitting down with him. I said, Dan, what goals do you have? Dan said, I've always wanted to play in the band. I said, if you get in the weight room, you can play the piano in a marching band. I mean, and he went on to become one of the all-time great players I've ever coached or had the privilege. I'm so proud. Not only your success, Dan, but the class way you've handled it as well.
Hey, Coach Lou, I would say, too, I'm venturing to guess that when you finally had that conversation with a young Dan that wanted to be a musician, you probably helped him out to pay attention to the little details that separate losing and winning. And is that what's happening as you watch? I don't know if you got to watch the Bears game or not today, but it just seems that the little details, when you watch teams lose, they just don't do the little things right, and then collectively it becomes a disaster.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, as I watch college football in pro, and I'm sitting here watching the Steelers play the Baltimore Ravens now, it all comes back down to fundamentals. Comes back down to 11 people doing their own thing. In other words, doing what needs to be done. Everybody on the team has a role. And you must do the role to the best of your ability so you don't jeopardize our goal. Our goal is to win. Maybe your role is to cover kickoffs. Well, hey, I don't want to cover kickoffs. I want to run the ball. I understand that, but that's not your role. And whatever your role is as a football coach, I learned this from Woody Hayes, your obligation, coach, is not to be popular, not to be well-liked. Your obligation is to make them the very best that they can possibly be. And I think that you have to get them out of your comfort zone. You have to insist that they do certain things because most people don't understand how much talent or how good they could be. If there's one problem I see in society today, it's always somebody else's fault, and we don't understand wherever we are today or because of choices we make. You choose to do drugs, drop out of school, join a gang, have tattoos all over, you're choosing to have problems. Same thing if you choose not to work hard, not to learn what you're doing, not to be fundamentally sound. I watch teams on defense. Nobody gets separation anymore. Nobody locks their arms out where they can cross faces rather than run around blocks. And everybody's doing the thing, you know, they hit with their head because they don't have the courage to wrap their arms and tackle the proper way. Or I see things in pass defense. I think, good Lord knows, you just can't do it that way.
Coach, what do you think the biggest change in football the last 10 years has been?
I think the biggest change, athletes are bigger, faster, stronger than they've ever been, but I think the spread offense, and I think there are three things you have to do to be able to stop a spread offense, whether it be college or pro. Number one, you got to be able to get pressure with a four-man rush. When you have to blitz five or six people, then you're rolling the dice, you're gambling. So you have to get pressure with a four-man rush. Second thing you have to do, you have to play good man coverage. I'm talking about there's a certain technique how to play man coverage. The third thing you have to do, you have to be able to tackle well in an open field. I think there are eight things on defense, and Monty Kiff was our defense coordinator when Dan was there. Great defensive coach. Mary Alvarez was my defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, great coach. And there are eight things I wanted. How many missed assignments do we have? How many missed tackles do we have? How many times did we not get separation with our arms? How many times did we run around the block? How many times did we not take the proper pursuit angle? How many times were we not sporting? Yeah, it's all fundamentals. We complicate life. You know, I was in the lower half of my high school class, and I'm proud to say I was in the upper half of my lower half. But
you were the best you could be in the lower half.
We complicate life. Life isn't that difficult.
Hey, Coach, one of the things that I always admired about you and as I watched your career as a coach, and really, I pay attention to the little details as a high school coach myself now, I really enjoyed how you would prepare your second unit and actually play them during games at different points because you wanted everybody fresh and going, and the idea that they got playing time and war prepared and they approached it properly. Again, just a small little detail, but what a wonderful concept you did with your teams.
I just felt that everybody should feel part of the team and everybody should be able to make a contribution. And when you said, okay, we're going to play the second team on the fourth series of the first half, they would make great preparation. They would be involved in it. They would be focused in the meetings, et cetera. And then if something happened, if there was an injury, they were well prepared. Not only that, when your first team sitting on the bench and they haven't scored the first three series, the second team is in a bunch and down the field, they're going, whoa, maybe I better pay attention a little bit. But I believed in the team concept that, you know, I never believed in a star. I never tried to promote somebody. Dan Hampton was just an absolutely fantastic player. And people like Dan Hampton changed my life. When we beat Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl, we're such a big underdog. But what people don't know is, you know, you never promote Dan Hampton. You say, hey, he's not the great. He's the greatest. No, you did. You promoted the team. And but there are also individuals, you know, hey, were destined for greatness, and Dan was certainly one of them. And he was from Jacksonville, Florida, I think it was. Just a great person and a great athlete. And I'm just happy for his success, both on the field and off the field. You know, a lot of people have success on the field, but then off the field, they sort of screw their life up.
you never know. Hey, Coach, what are you going to do now? Did I hear that you're not going to be a part of ESPN much longer?
Well, I tell you what, I'm so old now, my birthday candles cost more than the cake. And so I think there comes a time where, and for the last 3 years, I've told them no, I'm not doing it anymore. And this year I lasted till May. I really did. But you know what? I've been doing this for 8 years. And what people don't understand, whether you're in television or radio, all you do is talk till you think of something to say. Everybody says, oh, that must be real hard. Just talk and preach it, you'll think of something to say. But we've had the same group together. We've been together for 9 years. Our ratings are excellent. But I just think there comes a time where you need to step aside and let the younger people take over. And I've reached that point now. I thought I was retired. Everybody found out I'm retarded. And consequently, I end up doing much more than I should at my age.
Well, we're talking with Coach Lou Holtz. Now, Dan, I want you to think back when he was your coach. Did he ever grab your face mask, his signature move, and scream in your face?
Coach is one of the smartest human beings I've ever seen. He'd normally grab guys under 6 foot when he would grab their face.
Yeah, he understood how to grab and who to grab. He was smart on that.
Wait, I grabbed the face mask just to make sure I had their undivided attention. But let me tell you what I learned at Notre Dame. I learned at Notre Dame that every time I did something, the TV camera was on. So what I learned is I would put my arm around the guy's shoulder and say, and with a smile, say, you dumb sucker, I want to tell you, I can hardly wait till I get you on Monday. I'm going to run you into the crowd. Everybody, look how much he loved that player. That player screwed up, and he's encouraged him. See, they can't tell what you're saying. What you say, it has an effect, third least. The second most important what you say is tone of voice. Most important thing of what you say and how people react is your facial expression. So I learned to laugh, put my arm around him, and then say nasty things to him.
Coach, always, I mean, absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
Yes,
and just
sir.
Sharing.
Thank you so much,
I
Coach.
Mean, the knowledge that you have and the wisdom, and, you know, it's just, it's not appreciated as much as it should, in my opinion, because it's the experience that you possess and you share with people. Hopefully they hear it, more people hear it and understand it.
Well, you're very kind, and I'm glad you enjoyed the interview. It's taken you 14 years to call me, but I appreciate
you. You've been busy.
Another 14 years, I'll hear from you all again.
Well, you know, when you don't return the call, that's why.
It's always a pleasure. Call me anytime I can help you. Once again, I want everybody to know not only was Dan Hampton a great player, a great person.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you, Coach. We love you.
Thank you, Coach.
Oh, he's
Thank
the
you.
Best.
Bye now.
Coach Lou Holtz, what a great guy.
No, I got to tell you, this is ancient history, but, you know, he was a master builder. When he came to Arkansas, we were one play away from winning the national championship his first year. That doesn't just happen. And then when he went to Notre Dame, he said, I'm going to win a national championship. I think it was 3 years. Boom, he did it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he knows how to take what he has and fix it and put it in a direction where they can succeed.
Right.
That's been the story of his whole career. And what he says is so true. And we just don't – he's right. We don't do that enough anymore. Across the board. I'm talking about every aspect of our lives.
You're exactly right.
There's no accountability anymore, and that is one of our biggest issues.